Welcome, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to The Rebound, our new podcast talking about all the hot topics in basketball. I'm Elijah Cooper. I'm here with my co-host, James Jordan. How you doing today, sir. James?
Doing good, man. Just got out of work, ready to discuss these hot topics, you know. About to get into the preseason title favorites, sleeper teams, etc. And I definitely want to discuss Kobe. I definitely feel like he's disrespected. Being 14 at the top 50 all-time list, I feel like that's very disrespectful. So we're going to get into all these topics.
We got a bunch of great topics to get into with you guys today. For those of you tuning in, if you like the show, make sure you subscribe. We'll be on Spotify, Anchor, hopefully Apple Podcasts within the next week or so. So stay tuned. Make sure you guys follow us on Twitter at The Rebound Pod. All right. So our first topic that I want to get into today is our preseason title favorites. What teams do you see, James, that can really compete for a title this year?
Ooh, so you want me to start this thing off? Of course, you know I'm going to go with the LA Lakers. You can't go wrong with Bron. You got AD. You got some help. You got some, you know, you got some sidekicks. You have Avery Bradley. What else they have? Daniel Green now. I mean, I'm a little hesitant about Danny Green, but I feel like he'll just do enough to get the job done, just get in a defender win and hit some clutch threes. And then, like I said, you have AD, then you also have JaVale McGee back there, and then Dwight Howard. So who's going to stop those guys in the paint, you know?
Right.
And then we go to the Eastern Conference. Honestly, I'm feeling Philadelphia, and I know that's your team, man. But honestly, I just don't feel like Milwaukee is going to do enough. They lost Brogdon. That's a key piece.
Yeah.
I feel like they didn't replace the need in order for Giannis to do well. You know, he doesn't have that supporting cast that he had before. Let's see who else. The Raptors, of course, everybody knows that Kawhi is leaving, so what team they're going to be. That's potentially a sleeper team, but we'll get into that moving forward. But yeah, I feel like this is going to be Ben Simmons' season. You know, he's worked on his jump shot. He claims that he loves the game again, so we're going to see what he's going to be able to do. And I feel like they'll be able to contend for a title.
Yeah, man, I feel you. The Lakers came in second on my preseason title favorites list.
Come on, man.
Really, the only reason why is it seems like Anthony Davis is insistent on playing the four, and LeBron playing the three, and I don't think that's actually the best lineup for them. And it bumps Kuzma out of the rotation or puts him at the two, which is not his natural position. I think he's really best at a stretch four role. So I think they're definitely going to have size, but spacing could be an issue in this case. If that's the kind of lineup that they're going to, they could change it up and switch it up when if they realize that it's not working. But I picked the Clippers. I think the Clippers have the best star power or combination of star power, defense, and depth. I think they're a little bit deeper than the Lakers are as well, which is the main reason that I picked them. They're extremely versatile defensively. You've got Patrick Beverley, who's one of the best defensive point guards. Kawhi and Paul George can both guard 2 through 4. And then, you know, off the bench, they have shooting with Landry Shamet. They've got Lou Williams, guys like that. So I think they have a great combination of depth, defense, and star players. So I had the Clippers over the Lakers slightly. Obviously, wouldn't be surprised if it goes the other way. LeBron and AD are, you know, two of the five best players in the world. So, you know, obviously that gives the Lakers a shot to beat anybody. But it concerns me that they're looking at AD as a four instead of a five, where I think that's actually his better role. And I think that's where the fits would be best.
Now, quick question. You stated, well, I understand why you put the Lakers at two. You can't argue that. It's pretty much about preference. But back to the previous seasons with positionless basketball with the Warriors. Mm-hmm. Don't you see that becoming a potential issue for teams? Because, like I said, you have AD, LeBron, Kuzma's going to play. He's going to be in the starting lineup. There's no way you have him coming off the bench. I mean, I just feel as if that they're just going to be playing big, and then they can also shoot, which is going to give teams trouble. Like, it's either you're going to let them get rebounds and, you know, let them get 2 points, or you just want to stretch them out and then see if they can shoot the three ball consistently. So yeah. I feel like that's going to be a potential issue for other teams.
And see, well, the spacing is the issue that I would have with an AD and, like, Dwight Howard or JaVale McGee, whoever they start at the five.
Yeah, when you put those two in, JaVale and Dwight, yes, you're going to have the issue.
Yeah, you're running into spacing issues. Because LeBron can knock down open shots, obviously, but, you know, he's not a floor spacer, per se. And Anthony Davis is kind of the same way. He's excellent for mid-range, but from the three, he's career around 32 or 33%. So he's not a guy that's going to be that you really want spotting up from the three-point line anyway. So that's my issue with them. I think they may even start with Anthony Davis at the four and whoever at the five, and I will guarantee that throughout the season they switch that up, because I just don't see that fit working in today's NBA.
Okay. I mean, I understand. I mean, I just feel like it's just going to be a different brand of positionless basketball. Mm-hmm. I mean, even with the spacing, even if we have Dwight and JaVale in the paint, I don't see that being an issue. I mean, in some way or form, they're going to be kind of running the triangle, or at least ball movement will take place just like the Warriors a year or two ago. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's definitely going to be interesting to see what they're going to be able to do. I mean, I understand why you picked the Clippers. I mean, they have depth. I mean, that's hard to overcome in today's league. I mean, you just need your bench to perform. I mean, and then that's actually one of my concerns with the Lakers. Like, besides either JaVale or Dwight, like, who do you have coming off the bench that's going to be able to provide? I mean, they weren't able to get Carmelo. I mean, obviously, they're looking along the lines of someone else, but we don't know who that is at this point.
Right. So, yeah, you know, I think this year is going to be an exciting year in the NBA. Honestly, I think it's a pretty wide open field, more open than it's been in the last 5 years, obviously, or, 3 years, really, with KD and Golden State. Let's move on to our next topic here, and something you had just mentioned previously is some of our sleeper teams that we have. You mentioned Toronto. Is that who you're picking as your top sleeper team this year?
Yeah, I mean, they still have length. They still can play defense. One of my concerns is just Serge Ibaka. He's just been in the game for a while. Are you really going to put him at the centerpiece just until Marc Gasol comes back? And then also Kyle Lowry. He just actually received an extension. Is he worth the one-year $33 million extension? That's just going to be one of the biggest questions moving forward. So we're going to see what Toronto's going to be able to do. I believe they'll come in the 3 or 4 seed. You still have Norman Powell, Fred VanVleet coming off the bench, of course. And then you have OG Anunoby. I don't know. Yeah, pronounced his name wrong. But, he's definitely going to knock down some threes and play some good defense. So we're going to see what he's going to be able to do. And that's one of my sleeper teams. And then also I feel like it's time for Portland to get it done. I don't know why. I just have this feeling with Hassan Whiteside. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a good thing with Portland. They're going to be able to get it done. That's my other sleeper team on the Western Conference. So, what are some of your sleepers?
Well, I want to touch on Toronto before I give you mine. I like that pick a lot, and I think with people seeing Kawhi leaving, they're going to automatically write Toronto off. But that the one thing about that team, they are still going to be elite defensively. There's not a weak spot defensively on that team. Like you mentioned, OG, he's a very good defender. Siakam's a good, versatile defender. Marc Gasol, we all know, is one of the best rim protectors in the game. Kyle Lowry may have his faults, and inconsistencies on the offensive end, but he will always bring it on the defensive end. So Toronto, that defense is always going to keep them in games. I had them around the three seed as well, so I like that pick. My sleeper teams, and some of these may not actually count as sleeper teams, but I had four this year. My Sixers, my beloved Sixers, even though they're going to be a top two seed in the East, I consider them a sleeper because most people are kind of chalking this year up to the Clippers and the Lakers already. But I think the Sixers, we've talked about defense a lot throughout the show already. I think they have the ability to be one of the best defensive teams in the league as well, with Al Horford, Ben Simmons, Josh Richardson, and Embiid are four guys who can really get after it defensively. And Tobias Harris has even, he's no liability on the defensive end, but he's really mentioned that he wants to step up his game on that end as well. The Sixers spacing concerns me, but if Ben Simmons is going to be shooting jump shots, shout out to Ben Simmons hitting his first NBA three tonight. But if he's going to be,
I was about to say you didn't get the highlight.
I definitely got it. I was spreading out like wildfire.
Oh man.
But yeah, if Ben Simmons is showing a consistent, at least threat to shoot it from the perimeter, I think that's going to bode well for the Sixers' spacing issues. I also have the Warriors. Now,
I was just about to say, what about your beloved Warriors? You know you love them too.
I think they had a sneaky good offseason. I think they dumped a lot of the older vets who weren't quite getting it done. Like a Sean Livingston, who, don't get me wrong, he was great over the last 5 years, but last year he wasn't really as productive for them. But they really, I think they strengthened their roster altogether, bringing in guys like Glenn Robinson, D'Angelo Russell to give them some added scoring while Clay's gone. Willie Cauley-Stein was a good signing for them at the center position. Eric Pascal, which is a name, former Villanova big who can stretch, play that stretch four role for them. And I think we see an unleashed Steph Curry this year. He's been in the shadow of Kevin Durant the last three seasons, and I think he returns into MVP caliber. I don't know if he'll win MVP, but I think he turns back into MVP caliber Steph Curry again. My last two were the Utah Jazz. I thought the Mike Conley trade was huge for them. Don't get me wrong, Ricky Rubio was solid for them and had a great World Cup with Spain this summer. But Mike Conley, if he stays healthy, is a great complement to Donovan Mitchell in that backcourt, because defensively he gets after it. So he kind of gives you that point of attack defensively. And then you have Gobert, who's anchoring that defense, and gives a secondary playmaker slash scorer to Donovan Mitchell, which I don't think they had before he got there. And then my last team, again, they were the 2 seed last year, so I don't know if they quite qualify as a sleeper, but the Denver Nuggets, a team that people are not talking about. They are a young, unselfish, talented team that was second in the West last year, lost a tough 7-game series to Portland. But Jokic is, one of the best big men in the league. And they're possibly adding Michael Porter Jr. this year. I think if you get a healthy Michael Porter Jr. added into this group, a kid with sky-high potential, I think that Denver team could really give a lot of teams in the West problems and shock a lot of people.
Okay. I could see it.
So we'll move on to our next topic here and give you our preseason rankings. Or what we think are the final standings will be. Obviously, it's way too early to give these kind of standings, and we understand that. But we just want to, kind of show where we think teams are at so far. So, James, why don't you kick it off with your Western Conference standings?
I'm going to go all out with the Clippers at 1, Lakers at 2. Honestly, you could put teams anywhere 3 through 8, yep. Honestly. I was going to roll with Denver, Utah, and then the Rockets. Who else is there? Did I say Portland?
Not yet.
Okay. I actually had Portland just getting in there at 8, so that's why I had them as one of my sleeper teams. I feel like they'll struggle, and then they'll eventually get it together. And then at number 7, and the Dallas Mavericks, I had them at 7. So that's pretty much who I have for the Western. And then Eastern, I have Philly at 1, Milwaukee at 2, Toronto at 3. And then I have the Nets still at 4. I don't know what we're going to get out of Kyrie. We're not going to see Kevin Durant. They've been flirting with Carmelo. We're going to see what's going to happen with them. I have Indiana at 5, Orlando at 6. I think the Hawks may do it at 7 and Detroit at 8. I honestly see potential with Ice Trey. Mm-hmm. We're going to see if Trae Young can get it done. We're going to see if he's going to improve this season.
Okay.
Become more efficient.
Okay. Nice list. I like it. So, my Western Conference, I actually had Denver taking the one seed. I think they're going to come out in the regular season and shock a lot of people. And I think they're going to take the regular season a little more serious than the Clippers and the Lakers will. So, I have them finishing at the one seed. I have the Clippers at the two, Lakers in third. So we actually get the Clippers and Lakers in the second round rather than the conference finals. I have Houston at four. They are built for the regular season, so I have them finishing pretty high there. Golden State in the five seed. I have Portland at six, Utah at seven, and then Sacramento as my eight seed. I think they have a
Sacramento?
Good. Yeah, I think they have a good. They were close last year. They have a good young nucleus led by one of my favorite players and favorite point guards and De'Aaron Fox.
Okay.
So I really like Sacramento to sneak into that eight seed this year. In the East, I have Milwaukee. I think they take first seed again. I think the Sixers may drop some games early on while they try to figure out, you know, exactly how that starting five fits together offensively and, you know, trying to get Ben Simmons shooting jump shots and things like that. I have Toronto in the three seed, the Pacers in the fourth seed with a healthy Oladipo coming back, Brooklyn in fifth. They would be higher on this list, obviously, if they were expecting KD at any point, but it's looking like he even said himself not to expect him this year. So I have them in the five seed, Miami at the sixth seed led by Jimmy Butler, Boston in the seventh seed, and Detroit in the eighth seed. I think Detroit gets back into the playoffs this year.
Okay. I mean, I thought about Boston. I just feel like they just don't have enough. I mean, with Kemba, I mean, everybody's hype about Kemba. I'm not sold on Kemba yet.
Mm-hmm.
Even just going overseas and just losing the way we did.
Yep.
It just didn't impress me at all. Jason Tatum, I feel like he's going to improve actually. But they're missing a center. Like, I just don't believe Enes Kanter will just, yeah, I don't think he's going to do it either. So we'll see what we get from Boston. I was afraid to pick them in my top eight. We'll see where they finish. Hopefully they can get the job done because they have too many pieces to not fall into the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree with that. I thought Kemba was underwhelming in the World Cup, and really, there were a lot of Boston players on that World Cup roster that underachieved, and that's why I really have them so low.
Right, you don't think they'll build chemistry, but I just didn't see it.
Yeah, and you know, their loss of Kyrie this year, I don't think Kemba's quite as impactful as Kyrie is, but I actually think the biggest loss that they're going to feel, like you said, at the center position is the loss of Al Horford. I think he was so crucial for a lot of the things they were able to do on both sides of the floor because of how versatile he is. He can step out and hit the three. He can defend every team's best big man and protect the rim. You know, Al Horford doesn't get a lot of respect, but he was a crucial player to what, you know, to a lot of things that they do. So I think I wouldn't be surprised if they missed the playoffs, but I think I do have them getting in there. I don't think the bottom of the East is quite strong enough to bump them all the way out. All right, so we'll move on to ESPN's preseason player rankings. Now, these came out a couple of weeks ago and caused quite a controversy, as any rankings list really does on Twitter.
One question before we start?
Yeah, go ahead.
So technically, Bradley Beal is at 18. So I mean, actually, no, 19. So technically, is he better than Clay? No.
No, not in any way, shape, or form is Bradley Beal. This is for those of you listening in that don't know me and James quite as well. This is a debate that we've had probably 3 years now. Who was better, Bradley Beal or Klay Thompson? And ESPN did not help me out. But yeah, I mean, they had Zion, who hasn't played an NBA game yet, in the top 50, ranked over the likes of Klay Thompson and DeMar DeRozan, for those of you who didn't see the list. So what were your thoughts just on the rankings in general and Zion, really being
just like you said? I mean, it's not much to pick out of it. I mean, they already are hard on Zion. I feel like at least give these guys respect. At least put him in the top 100. We understand that he could fall in the top 80, somewhere around there, top 70, 60, arguably. But Klay Thompson, come on now. He does it over and over again in the playoffs. He makes ridiculous shots. How many points did he score in one quarter? 37?
Yeah.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah.
But it's just ridiculous. I just feel like just give this guy a shot first to prove himself and then put him in the top 50. But as of right now, we haven't even seen if he can shoot a jump shot yet. We haven't even seen if he can, you know, be effective in the post with the New Orleans Pelicans. I mean, it's a different roster, you know. So we're going to see where Zion fits. But as of right now, I don't have him ranked in my top 50. And I just feel like it's extremely disrespectful, especially even with DeRozan. Like, he's a two-way player, primarily plays mid-range, sometimes in the post. He's a good post player. He should play in the post more. But, I just feel like we just need to give him a shot first before we even rank him at all.
Yeah, and, you know, the one thing that I think a lot of people don't understand about these ESPN rankings is that they're actually a projection of what they think these players are going to do going into the season. So I actually kind of understand why Klay Thompson was so low. Golden State has already ruled him out to the All-Star break. So you factor in he's missing about 55 games, over half a season. So I get why they put him so low if you're projecting, you know, what they're going to do in the next season. But I don't, like you said, I think Zion being that high is an overreaction before he's even stepped on a court, because there are big question marks in my mind about Zion. Like, a lot of people will say he's an athletic Julius Randle. You know, like you said, he's not a proven three-point shooter. He's not proven to really, like, be able to break people down off the dribble. And, you know, he obviously he could blow by people with his quickness and his size. But in the NBA, you know, there's so many people who are freak athletes. That's not going to be enough to get Zion by. I think he's going to be a great player. I actually think he's still going to win Rookie of the Year. But to put him as a top 50 player already, I think was just a reach. And really put a lot of pressure on this kid before he even steps on the court. So, you know.
Honestly, I mean, just looking at the list, they have Kevin Love at 43. I don't even see him beating Kevin Love 1-on-1.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. How do you, you know, how do you put him over someone who, like Kevin Love, with all the accomplishments he's had, you know, throughout his career? And I get it, Kevin Love's another injury-prone guy, stuck in a bad situation in Cleveland. But, you know, Kevin Love is a championship-caliber power forward if you have, you know, the right all-star talent around him. You know, he's proven that he can be an integral piece to a championship team. Zion has done nothing of that nature. So, you know, that's I think that's a little bit of a reach there. But, you know, he'll have his opportunity to prove ESPN right or wrong soon coming up once the season gets started. So we'll see what happens going forward. So just to kind of transition a little bit here, let's talk about some players that we think are poised for breakout seasons. You know, do you have a list of guys who you think are really going to take that jump to the next level?
Okay, so I do have one player in mind. It's going to be Russell.
Wow.
So I feel as if he's going to become more efficient. You know, we get on him about the triple-doubles. What does it mean? It's still translating into L's. He's not getting it done, especially with his shooting percentage. But the reason why I'm a little high on the Rockets being a sleeper team as well is just because James Harden is going to have the rock most of the time. And then Russell is going to be able to use his athleticism and able to come off the ball, rebound, and beat his position for, you know, hustle points. And, you know, I'm big on hustle points. If you can hustle, I feel like your team's going to get it done in the fourth quarter. And then, honestly, he's going to play a little off-ball on defense as well. So he's going to be able to be in transition a little bit more. We've never seen James Harden play in transition, so this is going to be good because James Harden always has the ball. So I think this is going to be good for the Rockets. Russell's going to become a little bit more efficient. That's one way where I feel like he will have a breakout season. I'm not saying he's going to put up 25 points. I believe he'll be able to average around 16, 8, and 8. And with him becoming more efficient, I believe that will be a breakout season for me, in my
interesting.
Opinion.
Okay, interesting. So on my list, I had De'Aaron Fox. Okay. Some might argue that he had a breakout season last year, but I think he forms himself into a full-fledged all-star this year. I think his speed and quickness is lethal. Honestly, I think, if he doesn't get injured or if he doesn't pull out a Team USA in the World Cup, I think we're looking at a very different World Cup result for Team USA if De'Aaron Fox plays, because he would give that team a completely different dynamic as far as pushing tempo and things like that. So I think, and with Luke Walton as the new coach in Sacramento, I think De'Aaron Fox is going to flourish this year. I also had Jason Tatum, simply because he'll have a less ball dominant Kyrie in his way. I think we're going to see 20 a game from Jason Tatum, which is a goal that he actually set for himself this year. I think he's capable. 20 points a game. Yeah, 20. I think he hits that 20, because I think, last year was, in my opinion, a down year for him after the playoff run that he had in his rookie season. I think people were expecting him to take a bigger leap forward, and I think he was really still the same. I actually predicted that he wouldn't quite take that step forward with Kyrie there, but I think now with Kyrie out of the way, he's in year three, and really one of the returning stars for Boston after all the change they had this offseason. I think it's going to be crucial for him to step up, and I think he's poised for a breakout season. And then my last player I had was my guy, Ben Simmons. I was convinced by the videos over the summer. He looks confident shooting the basketball. Today, as of this recording, it is Tuesday, October 7th, and Ben Simmons tonight, just before we started recording this podcast, hit his first NBA three, preseason, regular season, postseason. And he shot it with confidence. He's about two steps behind the line, shot it with confidence. It was all net. And he's going to get a lot of opportunities where people are going to dare him to shoot it, which will give him, comfortability to kind of, not have to force it. He's just going to be taking open threes. And if he can really knock them down, and I'm not even really expecting him to shoot any kind of crazy percentage. If he can knock them down at, 30 to 33%, which isn't great, but it's better than the zero he's been shooting his first two seasons, at least make people say, all right, he might shoot it. You know what I mean? And that's the next step in the progression that I really want to see from him. And I think that will open up so much for his game as far as him getting to the basket and making plays for others, with people having to take, a step or two out closer to him, with his size and speed and handle, he can get by anybody if they fear that he will, shoot jump shots. So those are the three that I had on my breakout list. You mentioned Russell Westbrook. I actually have Westbrook in my list of guys who I expect to have down seasons. And really for the reason that you mentioned, because I say down season because, what has it been, 3 years in a row he's averaged a triple-double. So from a number standpoint, I think those go down. So I consider that a down year. I agree that I think he's going to be a little bit more efficient. I don't think he's going to be super efficient this year.
Okay.
I'm going to give him more than 16 a game. I still think he's going to be in the 20 to 23 points per game range, but over the last couple of years he's been around 25 plus. So, that's it'll be a little decrease there, a little less assists, a little less rebounds, but it'll get a higher field goal percentage. But with him, with him not dominating the ball as much as he has, since KD left in OKC, from a number standpoint, he'll have a slightly down year.
Now, I understand this question. Normally, you would take, I would say, 80% of stats. But out of all of our debates with Russell, don't you think him being less dominant would be a win for Russell Westbrook and the Houston Rockets?
Well, time will tell, because I think he's a player who actually needs volume to be successful. I don't think he's a very good off the ball player, because he's not a catch and shoot guy. So it's actually gonna be really interesting to see how him and James Harden coexist with him having the ball in his hands less. So that's one of my concerns that I have about the Rockets, especially in playoff time going forward this year. So, you know, I do think with him not being the go-to guy, obviously he's he should shoot it a little bit better because, you know, he'll be taking less shots and should be better shots. But, you know, there's some concerns there because I think he needs the volume to really be at his best.
Okay, I mean, I understand what you're saying. I mean, it is a bold prediction, so it's going to be up and down, and we're going to be able to tell in the season if it's actually going to be better for Russell or not. My prediction, I believe, is going to be better for him because he's going to be forced to operate off the ball more. Mm-hmm. I even seen in a preseason in a clip where he was just sitting in the corner and he just blew right past the guy. That's what I'm expecting all season. Yeah. And then turnovers, I expect him to be the ball handler, at least on the fast break, and then give James Harden open looks. That's what James Harden is not used to, and I feel like the Rockets will be in their best form with that formula. And then I also have one question for you before I forget. You mentioned De'Aaron Fox. Mm-hmm. Now, how do you feel? So, obviously, you feel as if you would pick him over Trae Young. Why?
Well, I don't know if I would take him over Trae Young. Honestly, that you're splitting hairs in what kind of point guard you prefer. De'Aaron Fox is the athletic, you know, downhill playmaker type of point guard, who's a little bit better defensively than Trae Young, but he's not going to give you the offensive output that Trae Young does. Trae Young is going to be an offensive juggernaut in this league. With the way that he shoots and stretches the defense, handles it, passes it. You know, he's not quite the defender that De'Aaron Fox is, but, you know, he'll make up for it on the offensive end by far. So I don't know if I'd quite take him over Trae Young. And I didn't have Trae Young in my breakout list because he had such a big rookie year, and it's actually the same reason I had Luka. I didn't have Luka there. For breakout, for me, I think you need a bigger... you need a bigger increase to your game, you know what I mean, or to your numbers. I think because he had such a good second half of the year last year, it's not going to be a surprise to people, you know, if he comes out and has a really good sophomore year. De'Aaron Fox had a good sophomore year, but I think he's going to have a great third year. And with him playing in Sacramento, I don't think he quite got the coverage last year that Trae Young got being a rookie, and then that rookie of the year debate, you know, with Luka Doncic. So De'Aaron Fox's season, I think, flew under the radar a little bit for people who didn't pay that much attention to him. And I think that's why I had him on my breakout list and not Trae Young. But I don't know who I'd take. It would really depend on what other pieces I have around my team for me to choose between those two.
Okay. Now, with Trae Young, just to touch on that a little bit, I mean, he just averaged right around 19 and 8 assists, which surprises me, but honestly think he's going to average a double-double next season.
I can see that.
And peak around 25 points. So I feel like that's a good improvement for him and just become a little bit more efficient because he was, you know, he thinks he's Steph Curry. I mean... Steph Curry just did this to everyone. Everyone is shooting Steph Curry shots. I mean, Trae Young definitely has the ability, but shooting around 33% for a point guard is just unacceptable. So I believe he may get it up around 40 this year, and it may spike in a little bit in points. So that's the only reason why I just asked that question about De'Aaron Fox, just because there are the two upcoming point guards in this league right now.
Yeah, and I agree with you there. I think because really Trae Young's percentage was hurt because – early on, he shot it so badly.
Chucked up everything.
Yeah, and he was shooting so badly. But when he really got, I think when he adjusted to that NBA line, like shooting there consistently, we saw what happened in the second half of the season. So I would not be shocked if he shoots 40% and puts up 25 a game this year. You know, I think that would be huge for the Hawks, who you had in the playoffs. I think the only reason I didn't have them in my top eight, I did consider them. I think they might finish like 9, or they could squeak into the playoffs. But I had them just missing because I thought they were just a little bit too young. Give them like 2 more years, I think give them 2 to 3 years, they're a top three team in the East. I like what they're doing at Atlanta. But let's go ahead and move on to our next topic. Just real quickly, let's go through our season-ending predictions. So, like, MVP, Roy, Most Improved, Coach of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year. So, who do you have taking home those awards?
Early MVP, I'm going to go with James Harden. And the only reason why is just because he has Russell Westbrook playing off-ball a little bit more. He's going to try to him, and I feel like he's going to be able to pull away MVP. I have Steph Curry at 2. Just like you said before, he's going to have a breakout season. I feel he's going to be back to MVP form. Less injuries. And then also, with Rookie of the Year. I mean, honestly, it's hard to pick this one. It really is. I mean, you have to go with Zion. I mean, but also I'm not shy away from picking Barrett in New York, because he can easily just put crazy numbers. L's with W's, it honestly doesn't matter. I mean, they're just going to go after their numbers. It'll be a tight race with that one, but I pick Zion. Most Improved. Now, with the Most Improved, this is hard. I'm gonna go with Gordon Hayward.
Okay.
I'm a fan of him. I've seen a little pep in his step in the preseason. Of course, it's just preseason, but I like what I saw from him. He's attacking the basket a little bit more, slashing a little bit more. Hopefully, become the mid-range shooter that he was in Utah. So if he can pick that back up, I'll see him as the Most Improved. And then Coach of the Year, I'm just going to go with Doc. I mean, you can't go wrong with Doc. He got Kawhi and George over there. He's going to put those guys in the right position to play defense and win some games. And Defensive Player of the Year, I'm honestly going to go with Draymond. I feel like he's going to be essential to the Warriors. He's going to get those young guys ready. He's going to make sure everyone's rotating on defense. I don't see them missing a beat. Of course, they're going to miss a little star power, but I feel like Draymond may pull it off with a little increase in production.
Okay. So I had MVP. I actually think it's going to come back to LeBron this year. It's been a while since LeBron's been in that discussion. I think with the Lakers being one of the best teams in the West, I think LeBron gets his 5th MVP this year. I did have James Harden pretty high up the list. He's obviously, with the numbers he puts up, he's always going to be in the discussion. I had Curry at 2, just like you. Like we mentioned earlier in the show, he's, you know, an unleashed Steph Curry as an MVP caliber player. For Rookie of the Year, I also went with Zion. I think really, you know, when you factor in that it's mostly media that's voting for this, they're already all over the kid. So, you know,
how far off do you think Barrett is from Rookie of the Year? You think it's going to be a competition, or you just think it's just going to be straight Zion?
I don't know. I don't think Barrett will come close. I think Ja Morant has a better chance of taking it away from him, simply because those two, Zion and Ja, are going to just flat out get more volume than every other rookie.
Now, I honestly feel like Barrett is listening to all of this criticism. He's just going to put up a shut up. I feel like he's just going to pull up an outstanding rookie season. I mean, I have Zion pulling it away by a hair or two, but I feel like Barrett will at least put up a fight around the second half of the season.
Yeah, I like R.J. Barrett. I think he gets a little bit of unfair criticism after playing at Duke with Zion. And I think he has a good rookie year too, as well. But the Knicks have a lot of solid pieces. They have a lot. Well, they have a decent offseason. They have a lot of quality players. Like, no great players or any stars, but they've got Julius Randle, Kevin Knox, Trier, like guys who will cut into the amount of shot attempts that RJ will get per game. But then for Most Improved Player, I actually had Jamal Murray. I think for Denver to reach the one seed like I had them, he's going to need to have a big year. So I think he's a strong candidate for most improved. And then I had Mike Malone for coach of the year. You know, Denver finishing top of the West. If that, you know, happens and holds true, I think coach of the year will be something he can take home. And then defensive player of the year, I had Joel Embiid. With the way the Sixers defense is looking and him being the anchor of that, I think it's very likely that he could take home defensive player of the year this year. So just, you know, for you, those of you tuning in, we will keep you updated and we'll track these preseason rankings that they have. We'll update them in our other shows and things like that throughout the year as the season goes on. But we'll track and see where we finish from these initial rankings and early predictions as well. So let's move into our last topic of the show that we'll get into today, which is the Bleacher Report Top 50 list. Another controversial list that came out within the last couple of weeks. It was a top 50 all time. And for those of you who didn't see it, Kobe Bryant was all the way down at 14. And to give context to that, Steph Curry was above him at 10. And Allen Iverson wasn't on the list at all. So those are three of the biggest talking points from that list. And Allen Iverson actually posted on Instagram his disappointment in the list of Kobe being at 14 and him not even being on it at all. And, you know, for those of you who don't know me, Kobe Bryant was my favorite player growing up, still my all-time favorite player, and my current active favorite player right now is Stephen Curry. And even as a Curry fan, I cannot fathom putting him in the top 10 NBA players of all time. Don't get me wrong, well-decorated player, two-time MVP. I'd have him maybe top 15, second-best point guard of all time, in my opinion. But to have him top 10 and four spots ahead of Kobe makes no sense to me. And how you don't have Allen Iverson on the list, who's an MVP, dragged one of the worst teams to the finals in that 2001 Sixers team. You know, he's a multiple-time scoring champion, actually has the second-highest points-per-game average in NBA history behind only Michael Jordan, an iconic game-changer in NBA history, not in the top 50? James, is there any way to make sense of this?
I mean, absolutely not. I mean, Kobe is highly decorated. I mean, we can argue all day if Shaq won most of them or if it was Kobe, but Kobe should at least be top five, in my opinion. He literally is just a dog. He's what you want on your team. He can get it done in the fourth quarter. I just remember as a kid just waking up, I'll catch the highlights before I go to school, and then here you go. The Mamba just hitting shots left and right and then hitting game winners. Come on, you even had Paul Gasol in the top 50. If we can argue, if Paul wasn't on Kobe's team, would he even be there? Like, so it's just ludicrous to me. Steph Curry, he's going to eventually get there, but not right now. You can't put him in the top 10 over Kobe. Not right now. Let him finish out his career, get a couple more chips. And then with Allen Iverson, you're speaking of an iconic point guard. We can argue if there wasn't an Allen Iverson, would there be a Steph Curry? I mean, we're just talking about just a guy that literally breaks ankles for fun. So, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, he definitely should be there. We can argue all day about people on the list, take them all, put them on, but there's no way that you have Kobe outside top 10 and you're putting Steph in there. And then no Allen Iverson, which I also believe should be in the top 10 category, or at least the top 15, worst case scenario.
Right. Yeah, man, so I definitely feel you there. I thought it was a pretty bad list. I'm not sure who's actually responsible for it, if it's a combination of writers. To be honest, Kobe's a top five all time, and you can debate that, you know, like you said, where you rank guys. But outside of top 10 is ridiculous to me, and Allen Iverson not being on the list I just can't quite fathom that. So
let's just talk about some guys. Yep, you got James Harden at 27, Chris Paul at 28.
Yeah, come on.
Even over John Allen Stockton Iverson. At 29 is disrespectful to me. John Stockton.
Yeah, listen, I for the record, I'm not a John Stockton fan at all. I think if he played in today's NBA, he'd get abused. But that's neither here nor there. Well, it is when we're talking about this list. And come on. Does John Stockton have any chance of keeping Allen Iverson in front of him?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. Come on. And Chris Paul ahead of over 20 spots ahead of Allen Iverson. That just wow.
And then you even have Reggie Miller and Ray Allen at respectively 43 and 44. And I'm just like,
which they may be top 50 players. But
to not have
Allen Iverson over those two, again, ridiculous. And it's not like Reggie Miller has any rings. So how can you put Reggie Miller over Allen Iverson? He's not nearly as decorated, you know. And even though I think he should be on the list, and actually in the 40s range is probably where I'd have those two. But I mean, to me, Allen Iverson's top 25 at the least. You got to have him somewhere up there, but. Yeah, just, in my opinion, an awful list. And I think a lot of people thought that list was bad as well.
Yeah, they got to do better next time. Hopefully they release something by the time we announce our next date, next show. But yeah, this is ridiculous. I'm just looking up and down this list. Got Patrick Ewing at 38. I'm just like, come on, man.
Yeah, that changed.
Are you serious? You even got Manu Ginobili, like the best six man, arguably. And you had this man averaging 13 points, 3 assists, 3 rebounds. And you had this man at 37. I think that's ludicrous.
Bleacher Report, if you're listening, do better. All right. Well, that's all that we had for you guys today as far as our topics goes. We want to thank you so much for tuning in to the first episode of The Rebound. We're going to be posting about 2 times a week for you guys with different content. Today was just our NBA season preview. Not all of our shows will be strictly NBA. We'll talk college basketball. We'll actually have our season preview for college on our next upcoming episode. We'll even get into local high school sports, some of the top high school prospects, and some of our future episodes as well. So stay tuned. Also, make sure you guys send us your tweets. We'll be posting something this week where you guys can respond. And we'll have a little segment where we address your topics that you send to us in your tweets. So make sure you follow at The Rebound Pod and respond to our upcoming tweets. Make sure you follow us, retweet us, and everything like that. If you liked listening to the podcast today, make sure you subscribe. Again, you'll be able to find us on Spotify, Anchor, and other podcast sites, including hopefully Apple Podcasts soon as well. So James, anything you want to say before we sign off?
Honestly, if we want to look at this top five again, we've got Michael Jordan at 1, LeBron at 2, Kareem at 3, Magic at 4, Larry Bird at 5. 1, right now, I mean, you can't dispute Michael Jordan. Of course, he's a top guy. But I'm going to slightly have Kobe over LBJ for right now. Just because that man was a dove. And I'm going to turn out on that note. So just let me know what y'all think about that.
All right. So if you think James is out of his mind, make sure you tweet at us and let us know. We'll make sure we address it on our next show. Again, thank you guys for tuning in to The Rebound. And you guys have a great day.
Thank y'all. Have a good one.